Our Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Leviticus, the 18th chapter. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God.' You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from Colossians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord said through Moses to the Israelites, "I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." Which statutes and rules? All of them. "That is too many," you say. "I can't remember them all." You say, "I know the 10 commandments, and I do not violate those." You say, "I do not commit murder." But if you are even angry, you will be liable to judgment. Indeed, if you simply say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Well, you think, at least I don't commit adultery. Jesus says that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, then what does the law demand of us in order to have life? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But you think, that's why I have Jesus. Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? Luke tells us that the lawyer asked this question, desiring to justify himself. The word for justify in Greek looks a lot like the word for righteousness. The lawyer desired to righteous himself. He desired to glorify himself. He desired to make himself righteous. He desired to be righteous, to be justified in himself. This is just idolatry. It is God who justifies, not man. It is God who makes righteous, not man. This lawyer asked this question to Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, because the lawyer desired that his way, not God's way, but his way of going through life would be righteous. How did this lawyer go about making himself righteous? Implied in his question is that the lawyer treated only some people as his neighbor. He only loved some people as he loved himself. He tried to justify himself the same way we do. He took the word of God and limited its application. He applied his higher criticism, his lofty reasoning, and pigeonholed God's word into a little box that he could live with. We do the same thing, and for the same reasons, we want to justify ourselves. And so this lawyer stood in front of Jesus Christ, who would die to justify him, and desired not Jesus Christ who would justify him, but instead desired to justify himself. We should see how great the grace of God is in this moment. Jesus would die on the cross that this lawyer's desire for self-righteousness would be forgiven. Out of Jesus' mercy, to this lawyer who was so determined to reject him, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was an uncomfortable or perhaps insulting parable for the lawyer. This lawyer would have been a Jew of some standing, thought to be righteous because he was accomplished according to men and the Old Testament laws and all the laws and customs of the Jews. He would have identified with the priest and the Levite from our reading. The priest and the Levite in the parable, refused to help the victim. We can read into the text that this was probably because of their concern for their own holiness. The laws prevented them from performing their priestly or Levitical services because they would be unclean having touched this victim. So to maintain their holiness, they left the victim on the side of the road, in the ditch, so to speak. It is understandable for them to do so, isn't it? They feel like they have this higher calling they must serve. But do they? Jesus says that they should love God and love their neighbor. Leaving that man in the ditch, they are preserving only the outward showing of righteousness, not any actual righteousness. The Jews did not like the Samaritans. In Old Testament times, the Jews were taken into captivity in Babylon. God returned them to Israel and primarily to Jerusalem. The other tribes were generally taken captive, exiled, and did not return. The Samaritans maintained that they were descendants of people from the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh who did not get deported but stayed and intermarried with other people in the area. The Jews looked at the Samaritans as unclean, presumably at least in part because they had intermarried with other nations. Yet it is the Samaritan who helps the victim, a man that is perhaps a Jew. Jesus shows the lawyer that this Samaritan, this detestable person to this lawyer, was the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers. When asked who was the neighbor, the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." Samaritan, not the Jews, was the one who acted righteously. Jesus was making a point to the lawyer. The consequence of this lawyer's self-righteousness was that he did not understand God's mercy. The lawyer didn't understand God's mercy, probably because he did not think he needed it. So he did not receive it. And because he did not receive it, he did not live according to it. Just as the lawyer did not think he needed to be merciful to everyone, to count everyone as his neighbor, the lawyer apparently did not think God needed to be merciful to everyone because some were righteous like himself and some beyond God's grace, not neighbors at all. Jesus showed the lawyer that everyone needs God's mercy, including him, because no one is self-righteous, self-justifying, and so he should be merciful to everyone. We, like this lawyer, often get caught up in our own self-righteousness. It is a form of idolatry. But we can only have this form of idolatry if we ignore what the law actually shows us about ourselves. The message the lawyer should have understood is the same message we need to understand. We are entirely unrighteous. It is God alone who is righteous, but he does not abandon us to the consequences of our unrighteousness. Instead, out of his abundant mercy, he rescues us according to his righteousness, though we never deserve such a rescue. Who are we who have received this mercy from God that we in no way deserve? Who are we not to have mercy on anyone else, no matter their condition? In our reading from Leviticus, it states about the laws of God. If a person does them, he shall live by them. And in our Luke reading, after the lawyer explains how the law means that we should love God and our neighbor, Jesus says, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." In saying this, in saying, "Do this, and you will live," Jesus echoes the statement of God in Leviticus that if a person does them, he shall live by them. We don't. We don't even get close. We aren't even in the running. There's no basis for us to justify ourselves, to call ourselves righteous. There's no room for that sort of self-idolatry. We need mercy. More than just needing mercy, God actually gives to us mercy. When Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them," he tells us that he has to die to perfectly fulfill the requirements of the law on our behalf. He alone does them. He alone can live by them. He alone is righteous. This mercy that we receive is a beautiful gift in Christ. Jesus tells the lawyer, "You go and do likewise." Consider what that meant for that lawyer. By telling that lawyer to go and do likewise, Jesus told that lawyer of God's mercy. Implied in Jesus' statement is Jesus telling that lawyer, "God's mercy upon you." In the face of the law's impossible demands to love God with all of his heart and to love everyone as himself, this lawyer was rebuked and should have known that he could not justify himself. Relied entirely upon God's mercy. And those are God's words for us. You, having received such great mercy from God, go and be merciful. Don't think that you are too righteous to help anyone in any way, shape, form, or manner. Don't think your hands are too clean to get dirty, pulling someone else out of the ditch. We aren't better or more righteous than anyone else in any other circumstance, whatever their circumstance might be. The saying is that you make your bed, now you lie in it. You also made your bed, but you will not lie in it. We all have added sin upon sin, and God rescues us from them all. He has shown us endless mercy. What the lawyer needed to understand and what we need to understand is just how bad off we are, just how unrighteous we are, because in hearing that, we lose every pedestal we've ever stood on that has allowed us to look down on others, not get along with them, or otherwise stand on the other side of the road from them when they are in need. It is only when we realize that we, too, have been in that ditch and received the mercy of God, received God's rescue, that we joyfully help others. Christ poured the mercy of God out upon the world from the cross. We are all before the cross, hands cupped like beggars every day, receiving that mercy, receiving God's mercy each day. It is a blessed life not to spend every moment according to the world, but according to God's mercy. Living that mercy, our hands outstretched to Christ in prayer and supplication, our hands outstretched, bearing one another up in the mercy we receive. Amen.